So it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. And you are listening to Between Sundays. Why do we call it that? Because Wednesday is right in between the Sundays.
It is quite literally between Sundays.
It is.
Yeah, man. How you doing? It's a huge week for you.
It is.
A big week for Hope Resource Center.
It is. We have our banquet tomorrow night, and just really excited about that. Sat down with Jerrica, who is the patient that's going to be featured tomorrow night. Yesterday we sat down, and man, I'm just so excited about people hearing her story and seeing how God moved through that. And it is a fundraiser, so I'm excited about hopefully raising some money and that it will allow us to continue to serve the city. So yeah, fun week. What I try to do at banquet, if you allow it, it can take over your thoughts and everything.
Right.
And so I try the week of the banquet to kind of really scale back and make sure that my stress levels don't go up so that staff stress levels don't go up. And I'm hoping I'm doing that.
Is there this week. Is there a monetary amount that Carrie and I need to be aware of that we need to go ahead and pre-commit to in order for you to talk to us actually at the event?
Yeah.
If we're just trying to figure that out.
Sure.
If there's a certain box we need to check.
You are sitting at my table.
Okay. That's great.
So
you'll be forced to talk to me.
So I won't talk, but at least you'll be at the table with me.
Man.
And that is something that money can't buy.
So are we completely booked at this point?
We are. Okay. I will say that if, on my radio show yesterday, I said, if you want to come to the banquet, we are about at maximum capacity.
Okay.
So that needs to be taken care of today.
If
that is something you want to do, go to investinghope.com and RSVP. It's free to come. But
and
you
do not
need a
show
ticket.
Up at the door.
I mean, I would not. we probably won't turn you away, but I would strongly encourage you not to, to just walk up.
So we just had Easter. How was Easter for you?
Easter was good. We traveled and spent some time with family and went to the church I grew up in. And was told by a nice old lady after the service that didn't recognize me because of the beard. I say old, seasoned lady was told that they do have a nursery, and she just wanted me to know that because we took all of our kids into the service, and she meant well.
Sure.
And she's probably an 8 on the Enneagram, and which we're going to talk about later. And she was just being honest, but it was interesting. But no, the worship was fun. It was fun time to get
always
to spend
cool
with
to family, be with family, yeah,
and do that. And so
is that the church you grew up in?
It is. Yeah, from the age of 14 until I moved to Knoxville. That's the church where I was at.
Yeah, so for those that don't know my story, I grew up here in Knoxville, and then we moved to Nashville for several years, as you know, and then moved back 7 or 8 years ago to plant Shoreline. But the church that I grew up in is now a funeral home.
So that's where you went Sunday?
I did not go there on Sunday. But that it's interesting, that church is still vibrant and going, but they just have a different location. Yeah. They sold, that building, to this funeral home. Mm-hmm. And I did a funeral in that building, a couple weeks ago. Hmm. And it was a little surreal, I mean, to think, oh, these are like, I have unique memories that are kind of popping up.
Right.
It's interesting to go into places that, you know, you were in as a little boy and to kind of see what comes back. So it was really interesting.
Well, it was, as we were driving to East Commerce Baptist Church, that's where we went Sunday.
Where is East Commerce?
It's in Lewisburg, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
And as we were driving there, speeding because we were late, I thought, man, this is just like when Aaron and I lived here with no kids, 5 minutes from the church, and we were still late.
You were still late.
Every Sunday.
So
it was exactly like that.
We had an amazing Sunday.
It was great.
With us.
Yes.
It was a great, great day. Super good, super fantastic. And so we celebrate that. I do want to note that you mentioned you were speeding on the way to church.
I was.
Were you speeding in the newly updated van?
I was. I was.
Because for those that are unaware, they yep. might need to jump on any number of social media networks and follow Andrew and see that the van
yeah.
now looks much more like the van out of the 18.
Yeah, more military.
As opposed
for sure.
to a van
that you would want to tell your kids park, to walk
that you'd see parked down next to the river. That yeah. type of deal. Yes.
Yeah, it is, I will be honest. What happened?
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I will
for
try
being
to be honest.
Honest.
That's yeah. good. It's a good trait to have. I'm a three, so it's a good trait to have. What happened was, I was speaking at a church one Sunday, and my wife and family were at Shoreline
right.
that Sunday, and I get a text, and it's a video of a van that from someone at Shoreline. I don't know who it is.
Yep.
I haven't met them. Would like to meet them. So if you're listening,
yes, thank
I
you
want to meet
to you.
Yeah. And but they have a van just like ours. But it's lifted, had bigger tires, had the luggage rack, like the whole nine, looked
sharp.
Like a camping van on steroids.
Yeah.
And my wife videoed it and was like, I think I like the way that looks. It doesn't look so much like what she would say, a creepy van. And, which I took offense to, but,
yeah.
And so that's all I needed. And so I went immediately
Done.
And got tires, got bigger tires. I got a thing called Plasti-Dip. And so now all around the rocker panels, the bottom of the van, it's black. The wheels are black. I did the grill last night. The grill is black.
Man.
Put me a Smoky Mountain Beard Company sticker on the back of it. I'm good to go.
To note, I was speaking over you. You said Beard Company.
Beard Dead.
Yeah,
with
beard.
A D. Yes,
yeah.
yes.
It should be noted that, it feels like B.A. Baracus could come out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
from the 18.
And I may or may not have went to my brother's house over the weekend and exchange mufflers, and it may or may not sound
a little different,
a little meaner.
Also, notice that you were pulling a tractor.
With I was
at
over
one
the,
point.
Yes, on Monday.
Which is,
yeah.
maybe that's taking it too far.
yeah.
So, I don't
yeah,
do
possibly.
I never remember an episode on the A team where they were pulling a tractor.
Yeah.
So.
But it's a handy vehicle.
It
I can
love
do it,
it
all. It
all right,
it
so
all.
You've made a couple jokes about being an eight, being a three.
Yeah, which I'm neither of
being
those.
Being an ENTJ, yeah. whatever it may be.
An otter, as Bob Bell came
yes.
in and said earlier.
We want to talk today about kind of personality testing,
yeah.
Whether it's the Enneagram, whether it's DISC, whether it's Myers-Briggs,
yeah, yeah.
all that other stuff. We're going to talk a bit about that and talk about it from a biblical perspective because it is hot.
It is,
especially
very much
Enneagram.
The thing.
It is hot.
Millennials love them.
Everybody loves some Enneagram.
Personality test.
Correct.
And it's an interesting thing because I work at Hope and actually at our staff retreat back in November, we had a specialist come in. We spent 4 hours, looking at the Enneagram and going through and trying to figure out who is what. And then you have some staff members that were already like, looking at me and going, I bet you're a six. You're a six. And I was like, well, I don't know what that means, but ultimately after
maybe.
Taking the test, I was a one, which I think means like you're organized and and then they have wings with the Enneagram. So I think that the main point, there's an article that we're going to reference as well. The main point is, are there pros and cons? Certainly.
Absolutely.
There's good and bad.
Yeah, like I'm fascinated by them at times. It's interesting, but I will say I've probably always taken more of a stance. Like personality testing has always felt more like a party game to me than a real like tool towards improving relationships and productivity and things of that sort. Like it's always been interesting to me, but I've never leaned into it as much as many do. And
so
I would say many even find it to be of value when it comes to, you know, how do they interact with their spouse?
So it's
their
not
children.
On your profile on Twitter.
It
you
is,
don't list what
it,
you are.
It is not. I probably will add it this afternoon. I would imagine, you know.
That's good. You probably should.
Right. Maybe probably get some type of graphic made.
Yeah, you should.
With like an otter, if I was an otter.
Yeah.
Like with an otter chewing an ENTJ or something like
and then,
that.
And
like
then when that. People go, Jason, why did you say that to me? And you go, I'm an
yeah.
otter.
Yeah. Or you know how they have, you know how you can like see in the back of like a van per
yeah,
se, if I was to use that expression. You know, it's something like my kid did this.
Right, right.
You know, like, I'm going to start just giving my, or you have the little size figurines,
yeah, yeah.
You know, like the little stick figures of your family. I'm just going to do different size numbers.
That's good.
Ours. So it'll be like 8, 4, 3 yeah. and just kind of do it that way.
Yeah. That, and
I think it'll be life giving.
I think it'll be life giving. And I think everybody will get it when they see it.
We'll throw that right next to the Shoreline sticker. We certainly won't sound like a cult at that point. So we do want to talk about, you know, what is the place of a personality test? Is there value in it? I think we can say there is value in it, but there are also some potential pitfalls with it. And the first thing I would say is, I think the personality test, and as we referenced earlier, we're drawing a little bit of this from a fantastic article that you can see at erlc.com.
Yep.
Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, Russell Moore and some of his team put out all kinds of great thoughts on any number of subjects, including this one. And one of the statements that's made here is personality tests can be wrongly used to excuse our sin. Have you ever seen that?
Yes. Yeah. And that's it's one of those things, and we were talking off air, when people will say things like, look, I just tell it like it is. I'm blunt.
Right.
And I'm like, well, you're kind of a jerk.
Right.
You tell it like it is, but there are moments when that needs to happen.
Well, I'm a blank, you know,
yeah.
I'm an X, Y, and Z. So, and really, you know, this is a different discussion, and it probably should be noted. This is a different discussion than spiritual giftedness.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
We're not talking about spiritual gifts today. I think spiritual gifts inventories are good. I have often joked that I feel like I can better discern spiritual gift inventories, meaning that what I can do is try to cheat the system. I'm like, oh, that's clearly going to be this gift. I don't know if I want that one.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
You know, but with that said, I mean, there's people who will say, well, you know, I'm a prophet. So so blah, you know,
yeah.
There's verbal vomit. And you're like, no. Being a prophet or having that kind of prophetic gift isn't, you might see things kind of black and white, but it doesn't give you an excuse to be unkind or to lack tact or just to vomit your opinions out on anyone and everyone when they're not asking. That is not using that gift correctly. In the same way, if God made us a unique way, or not necessarily even if God made us a certain way, if even in our sin, we have managed to gain kind of certain personality patterns in our life. Let's not just always embrace them. You know, we have to be careful with it.
Well, because at times you'll hear people say, well, look, that's just how I was born. That's how I'm wired. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I was born with a lot of urges. And,
right.
and you know, we're all born into sin. And so we have these natural tendencies to do the things that we shouldn't do,
but
that doesn't mean we embrace those things.
Right. We were talking off air is that in the conversation, it could go any number of different directions here. But when you think about people who say, well, I was born this way, or I can always remember from the earliest of days, I always felt this way. Well, I can remember from the earliest of days that I wanted to punch my brother or punch anyone for that matter.
Anybody I came in contact with.
Or I wanted to steal candy from the store, or I wanted to do, you know, I wanted to lie, or I wanted to disrespect my parents. Just because things have been in us from the earliest of days doesn't mean they're things that we need to always embrace.
Yeah, somebody cut me off in traffic this morning.
Right.
I wanted to slam the gas and hit their car.
Yes, yeah, sorry about that.
That was the urge.
Oh, that wasn't me. It was someone else. Sorry, got it. Sorry.
That was the urge, but that's not an urge that we go, just embrace that.
Right.
Embrace who you are. No, that's not what we want, what we need to do. We'll talk more when we come back. So before we get back into the topic of the day, I do think it's important, Jason. Oftentimes you make comments about my band or my beard. I think it's important to say, you're growing a beard, and I like it.
I am growing a beard.
I like it.
Thank you.
Don't let the world or the culture tell you otherwise.
I'm looking in our window here in the studio and seeing a bit of a reflection of myself.
Yeah.
And I'm now having second thoughts about the beard.
No, don't.
I try not to look in the mirror a lot.
Here's the rule of thumb when it comes to a beard.
All right, give it to me.
Okay, so when you when you sense that feeling of, I need to trim it, I need to shave it, I need to do something.
Is that when you push through?
That is, you push through first. Okay. I mean, clearly.
Right, sure.
Clearly, I would say push through. But I would also say a rule of thumb is however long you've been growing the beard.
Right.
So let's say it's 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. You should take that many days to really contemplate what you need to do. So if it's been 4 weeks of growing, take 4 days to decide whether you need to trim it or not. That way you're not making a rash decision that you may regret.
I mean, this feels like
I've given this a lot of thought, Jason.
That's a significant theory, right?
Yeah.
There.
So for instance,
you have definitely put some thought into
that. For instance, I've been growing what's on my face at this moment for 7 months.
Has yours transitioned away from a beard? I don't know. Like just to like pre Santa Claus.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. It is.
I'm really, my main goal is so at Halloween I can dress up as Yukon Cornelius from Rudolph. That's the goal.
At what point does it transition from a beard to a mop?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's shaped.
You've got it shaped.
Yeah, it's shaped. I'm going to the barber today and we're going to
prep. You're prepping for
for tomorrow night. Yeah.
Man, oh man. Yeah. Now I feel
getting my nails
now
done.
I feel pressure to prep for tomorrow night. So we continue to have this discussion about personality types. Again, we've said Enneagrams are kind of the hot thing.
That's the main one right now. Yeah.
But for years, I mean, people have jumped into all the other ones that I've referenced to. I think maybe one concern for me is that it has a tendency to box us in a little bit, that we might say, well, I'm X.
Yeah.
And then we're just good with being X.
Yeah.
And there's real, no, there's really no motivation or even even an expressed need to maybe grow. Like, what about sanctification? And again, I think more so it's boxing us in on things that we may not necessarily be proud of. You know, it's one thing to say, well, you know, a certain personality type speaks towards me as a leader,
right,
or as a thinker, or a peacemaker. Well, I mean, those are good things. We don't want to dismiss those things. We want to continue to grow in those things. But I do think sometimes there's some things that personality tests reveal about us that are not our finest attributes, and we just kind of be okay with it, as opposed to, hey, I'm going to grow through that. I'm going to try to seek Christ and pursue to be more like him in that area of my life.
And sometimes some of us are way too aggressive and our personality type matches that and we just feel like, hey, that's just who I am.
Right.
Some of us are way too passive and we don't speak up when we need to and we'll say, well, look, that's just the way I am. And instead of going, maybe my aggressiveness, I need to work on being more passive. Maybe my passiveness, I need to work on being a little bit more aggressive and assertive in certain moments and areas. And instead of going, look, I'm a one with a three wing or a one with a two wing, which I'm not completely sure what that means. But as we look at that, just saying, I'm trying to be.
That sounds like a KFC order.
It does.
Like,
I'll take the number one.
With also a wing.
With two wings.
Yes, exactly. Which is ideal. And extra gravy.
And so as we look at that, I think it's important that we say, look, I'm trying to be, for instance, for me, I'm trying to be the best husband I can be, the best father I can be, the best leader I can be, the best, gospel person I can be. And so that's gonna take some work. It's also gonna take leaning into who God is and knowing that really a lot of that we can't do on our own. Now, I was listening to earlier this morning, Al Mohler's briefing, for Wednesday is something that I would encourage a lot of people to listen to as he talks about, Joel Osteen. And that's a whole nother thing that we talked about on the show before. But what he was saying was we have a tendency to run away from, or only look at certain good news,
right,
but we tend to miss that you don't have good news without the bad news. And so if we honestly look at some of these things and self-reflect and go, look, this is a trait that isn't necessarily pointing people to Jesus, is not pointing people to the gospel. It's actually taking me deeper into my sin. Then we need to adjust. That's like you were saying, where sanctification comes in.
Well, and I think the thing that is often missing when we kind of embrace those things, you know, some of the negative sides of maybe what a personality test might reveal, we've taken Jesus out of the whole equation. Mm-hmm. And we talk over and over and over with Shoreline and even you and I in conversations we have, we don't want to look to ourselves for what we want to be opposite. We want to be anti self-help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't need to know myself better so then I can make myself better.
Right.
I need to know myself better. And a test like this might be very helpful in doing that. In fact, a number of them really are. But I don't just need to then say, well, okay, Jason, fix it. No. Christ, work in my life. Redeem me, renew me. I'm a new creation. You know, birth new things in me. Give me discernment, wisdom, all the stuff that I might need to be moving away from self in many ways, I think is a key piece. Let me throw out something I think is also an issue. I think that personality tests can be used to be mean to others. And yeah. I don't even mean in the sense of giving me an excuse to act a certain way, but almost to accuse others. Like, oh, you're such an honor. You're such you're such a, you know, you're this. Have you experienced that at all?
Yeah, I mean,
you said just a minute ago.
Before I even took
it. Let's throw your staff into the bus right now.
Before I even took an Enneagram test, I was hearing from a lot of folks, well, you're a six, or you're this. It's obvious that this is what you are.
And you're showing your
And I don't even really, and at that point, I didn't even really know what any of those numbers meant. And then I take the test and I'm a one. With some wings somewhere in there. And so it was like, well, we're completely just, and there are times certainly where if you know anything about the Enneagram in particular, you can look at some traits and you can, if you allow yourself, and I wouldn't encourage this, can look at others and go, they're definitely that.
Yes.
And what usually happens, because if you, especially with the Enneagram, you have kind of positive traits and negative traits of those numbers. And usually our tendency is to look at the negative traits, and that's how we determine who other people are. We don't look at the positive traits. We look at the negative ones and go, they are definitely this. And that's not Christ-like.
Well, and here's the biggest thing. I think when we do personality tests and we learn these things, you know, you learn the ranges,
sure.
You learn the results. This is an opportunity. And as you look at other people and you can begin to say, oh, they are this or that. Use that as an opportunity to better love them,
mm-hmm.
know them, serve them, partner in the gospel with them, work alongside them, cooperate with them. Not, they're intended to be things that help you, not to give coaching into someone else's life when it wasn't invited. You know, like, hey, I've taken this test. I'm pretty well aware of this stuff. Let me just mention to you that you're these things.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, whoa. I didn't invite you into my life to tell me. It would be like someone walking in and be like, hey, I don't know if you know, but you're arrogant and you're prideful and you don't do this. And you're not going to be able to make commitment down the road. And at times you're too lighthearted. And people are like, wow, could we?
Yeah, I don't even know you.
Yeah, even if I value that input, maybe not saying that in a flippant manner.
Like,
you know?
Sir, this is a Wendy's drive-thru. Why are you doing
that? I just wanted a frosty.
Yeah. You know? And so as we look at that, we constantly are doing that. And then what we find is we'll find ourselves going, oh, ones are the worst. It's like, well, I haven't even taken the test. What if I'm a one? You just said I was the worst. Why would you do that to me? We'll be back.
As cruel as a grave, shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name.
So as we look at that, as we look at the Enneagram and all of these other personality tests, I think it's important that we understand. Look, we're not saying don't do any of these.
No,
I think a lot of
like
times
we've done them.
We always.
I'm looking forward to New Year's Eve when I do
the
other party games.
And the next one that comes along, I'll do it too. You know, just so I can. And part of that is trying to be, trying to be relevant in conversation.
Right.
If everybody around you, especially millennials currently, are talking about the Enneagram and you don't have a clue what any. I'm not saying go become an expert. But at least understand some of it so you even know what's being talked about, what's being discussed. And so that's part of it. But we were talking off air, is it even Should we do those in group settings in, right. in a kind of like a staff setting? It's one thing to do it in New Year's Eve where everybody's cutting up and joking. But if you're doing it in a staff setting, is there moments where we may, that could be hurtful to someone if they're seeing, seeing something, or are we prepared if we know a little bit more about it than others? Are we prepared to kind of hold our tongue so that we're not saying things like, oh, ones are the worst? And I say that because when I did mine, I was a one. But are we saying that?
I've been
that?
Thinking for a
yeah,
minute
I mean,
now,
I know.
Ones are the worst.
They are terrible. But I have a sticker on my van now, and it's good. So as we look at that, personality tests can certainly be negative, but they can also be positive.
Yeah, they can help us understand and work with others better. And so I do think that's an interesting discussion there about, is it really wise to take these tests together, you know, in a corporate setting or a staff environment where it can be pretty telling.
Yeah.
I think maybe also that the piece of it is that we have, if you're going to take those things, you really are going to take it seriously. You really do have to kind of go in with a heart that is to a certain degree coachable, you know, to a heart that would say, is there a possibility that a tool like this could actually reveal some things to me that not necessarily are sinful, but they might be blind spots, or maybe even just a better awareness of, if you and I took a test together and I see that you have very different results than me, and I'm like, well, man, I still love this guy.
Yeah.
And what would I glean out of that? Well, we're just different. No, maybe I would glean out of it like, oh, he actually processes information different than I do. Or if we're going to accomplish X together, I probably need to give a little bit in how we would go upon getting that process done.
Yeah.
Or, maybe he might not see things exactly as I see it. And that doesn't make you more or less likable. Doesn't make you, a better or worse person. In fact, in our case, again, two really, really great friends, but we might have different personality types, and we'd say, oh, what could we glean out of that? Do we just walk away and say we're different, or do we walk away and say, in the times that we're trying to unite to do something together, whether it's the kingdom of Christ, the body of Christ, that would be something for us to not only keep in mind, but also to admire, because that's a big piece of it. I mean, God did uniquely make us. And I think, as we've talked about, there are certain times the personality test points towards just some things that we need to grow in, but there's also a lot of things that it points to things we need to celebrate.
Yeah.
And those are things that God has birthed in us, and God has allowed us to either experience, grow in, gain wisdom from, I mean, all this other stuff. There's something really valuable there. And I just think it can be something that makes us better together, not just alone.
Well, it's the same thing with the love languages. It's why I read that book. It's why my wife read that book when we were, going through marriage counseling and stuff right before we got married. It's because we want to try to know each other better. How are we going to process when everything goes south? How will I deal with conflict? How will she deal with conflict? Same thing in a work setting. Same thing with neighbors. Same thing with friends. How do we process things? Anytime I see an article or a book that's been co-authored, so it has multiple authors, I'm always like, how did they? Because you got to assume their process of writing, their process of coming up with the information is different. How do they work together to produce that? Because I'm sure my writing process is different than your writing process.
Right.
So how do you come together, understanding each other's strengths, understanding each other's weaknesses? And I do think these tests and will help us in seeing that. But we don't put all of our hope and stock in a personality test.
Yeah, this one article that we've referenced to a couple times is actually written by Jen Kintner. Jen serves as the office coordinator in Nashville for ERLC. And she gives this one experience. She says, at an event I was throwing with a friend, we had handwritten instructions posted on a piece of paper for the guest. All night long, my co-host and I were at battle with one another moving the sign. She kept moving it toward a more prominent place. I kept moving it to a less visible place where the instructions were accessible when needed, but weren't an eyesore. We got frustrated with each other. We talked about it later and laughed, but it wasn't until a personality test told me that aesthetics was one of my highest values, and utility was one of my lowest. That I realized what had motivated our war, which is really, again, that those things are helpful for us. We think, oh, this is what I value. That person doesn't value it. And so if we're not mindful, we're going to allow something really silly and something petty to maybe even divide us.
And sometimes we might even find ourselves going, they just don't like excellence. They just don't like good work. And you're like, well, no, they have a value system and we have a
excellence
value system.
Excellence looks different.
Yeah. And so success looks different. You know, sometimes.
Do you have that in your home? So to me, like Carrie and I consider clean to be two different things.
Yeah.
No, like truly, like for me, clean is organized.